Although in practice this technique is rather dubious mathematically, it does seem to work, and it has been used with the theories of the strong, weak, and electromagnetic forces to make predictions that agree with observations to an extraordinary degree of accuracy. Renormalization has a serious drawback from the point of view of trying to find a complete theory, though, because it means that the actual values of the masses and the strengths of the forces cannot be predicted from the theory, but have to be chosen to fit the observations. Unfortunately, in attempting to use renormalization to remove the quantum infinities from general relativity, we have only two quantities that can be adjusted: the strength of gravity and the value of the cosmological constant, the term Einstein introduced into his equations because he believed that the universe was not expanding. As it turns out, adjusting these is not sufficient to remove all the infinities. We are therefore left with a quantum theory of gravity that seems to predict that certain quantities, such as the curvature of space-time, are really infinite. Yet these quantities can be observed and measured to be perfectly finite. That this would be a problem in combining general relativity and the uncertainty principle had been suspected for some time, but it was finally confirmed by detailed calculations in 1972. 4 years later, a possible solution called supergravity was suggested. Unfortunately, the calculations required to find out whether or not there were any infinities left uncancelled in supergravity were so long and difficult that no one was prepared to undertake them. Even with a computer, it was reckoned, it would take many years, and the chances were very high that there would be at least one mistake, probably more. Thus, we would know we had the right answer only if someone else repeated the calculation and got the same answer, and that did not seem very likely. Still, despite these problems and the fact that the particles in the supergravity theories did not seem to match the observed particles, most scientists believed that the theory could be altered and was probably the right answer to the problem of unifying gravity with the other forces. Then in 1984, there was a remarkable change of opinion in favor of what are called string theories. Before string theory, each of the fundamental particles was thought to occupy a single point of space. In string theories, the basic objects are not point particles, but things that have a length but no other dimension, like an infinitely thin piece of string. These strings may have ends, so-called open strings, or they may be joined up with themselves in closed loops, closed strings. A particle occupies one point of space at each moment of time. A string, on the other hand, occupies a line in space at each moment of time. Two pieces of string can join together to form a single string. In the case of open strings, they simply join at the ends, while in the case of closed strings, it is like the two legs joining on a pair of trousers. Similarly, a single piece of string can divide into two strings. If the fundamental objects in the universe are strings, what are the point particles we seem to observe in our experiments? In string theories, what were previously thought of as different point particles are now pictured as various waves on the string, like waves on a vibrating kite string. Yet the strings and the vibrations along it are so tiny that even our best technology cannot resolve their shape, so they behave, in all of our experiments, as tiny, featureless points. Imagine looking at a speck of dust. Up close or under a magnifying glass, you may find that the fleck has an irregular or even string-like shape, yet from a distance it looks like a featureless dot. In string theory, the emission or absorption of one particle by another corresponds to the dividing or joining together of strings. For example, the gravitational force of the Sun on the Earth was pictured in particle theories as being caused by the emission of the force-carrying particles called gravitons by a matter particle in the Sun and their absorption by a matter particle in the Earth. In string theory, this process corresponds to an H-shaped tube or pipe. String theory is rather like plumbing in a way. The two vertical sides of the H correspond to the particles in the Sun and the Earth, and the horizontal crossbar corresponds to the graviton that travels between them.